Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
It's going to take some time and revisit some of the old Sunday school stories that you may have heard before, you may have seen illustrated in kids' Bibles and stuff. And it's so important to realize that when we look at the stories and the narratives of the Old Testament and the New Testament, first thing is really important to realize that these are not just mere stories that God made up to teach us a lesson, or to, you know, these are not, this is not God's fables like Aesop's fables and just a collection of myths and moral teaching and wisdom. These are real things that really happened in the people of God's lives, and they illustrate to us and still speak to us today of the power and the ability and the willingness and the desire for God to move supernaturally and radically in your life today in the year 2016, just like he did 10,000 years ago and 2,000 years ago and all the way up to today. Amen? And so today we're going to be in the book of Joshua, chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5 and chapter 6 this morning. And we're going to be looking at the story of the walls of Jericho, when the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, tumbling down. How many have sang songs about the walls of Jericho tumbling down in Sunday school? Remember that? How many, now, if you're part of a late 80s, early 90s charismatic church, how many have ever been a part of a charismatic Jericho march around a church building? Anybody ever done one of those? Come on, raise your hands. Come on, let's be honest. I'm raising my hand with you. I've done that. And we're not going to do any of that this morning, I don't think. If we do, know that it's completely God-led in a spirit thing, because I will never just do that just to do it. Amen? But we talk about the Jericho march and the children of Israel marching around Jericho, and we're going to look at that this morning, and we're going to see what's happening here. Let's just read the story. We're not going to read the whole, because it's really the whole chapter of chapter 6, but we're going to give you the kind of abbreviated version here. We're going to start in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, and it says this. It says, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?' And the commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy.' And Joshua did so." Chapter 6, verse 1. "Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, and with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpet, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in." Now skip down to verse 15, chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. It says, "On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.'" Then verse 20, "When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. The walls of Jericho came a tumbling down." Let's pray. Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you for your word today, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to each and every one of us, both as a corporate body, and you will speak to each and every one of us individually, and let us hear both what we need to hear corporately as a church family and community of faith, and what we need to hear individually to move us forward and propel us closer to what you have and who you've called us to be in our daily lives, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would open up every heart, open up every ear, open up every eye to see, to hear, and to receive everything that you have for us today, God. God, let us move beyond just hearing a cool story that happened thousands of years ago, but Jesus, I pray that we would have a real and intimate and deep encounter with the God of this word this morning, and recognize that that same God that broke and tore down walls for the children of Israel is the same God that wants to break down walls in our lives this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. So a little backstory here so we understand what's happening. The children of Israel, they have come out of slavery after 430 years of slavery. For 40 years, they have wandered the wilderness. Moses led the people out of Egypt. They have wandered the wilderness between the promise from Egypt, from slavery, and between that and the promised land that God had for them. And Moses dies. Joshua takes command. There's a whole new generation that this army that God had raised up, you have to understand, none of these people, none of these kids, these were all kids that came out of Egypt. So they have never had a home. They've never known anything their whole lives except following Moses and Joshua and basically just wandering around the wilderness. In fact, in Deuteronomy, the Bible, God said to the people, He said, "You've circled this mountain long enough." They were basically walking in a circle around the same mountain for 40 years. And there were reasons for that I'm not going to dive into this morning. But you have to understand that this was a whole generation that had been told their whole lives we're leaving Egypt and we're wandering this wilderness, but we're going to the promised land. Now in Joshua chapter 4 and 5, they come across the Jordan, much like at the Red Sea when their moms and dads and grandmoms and granddads came out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea and this miracle took place where God parted the waters and they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. When they come to the Jordan River that separated the wilderness from the promised land of Canaan, the Bible says the Jordan was at flood stages. It was the flooding time of year and they couldn't cross. And just like at the Red Sea, the Bible says that God parted the waters of the Jordan River and the people have just crossed over the Jordan River on dry ground, just like at the Red Sea. And they stand there on the border of their promise. And they see this, the first city they see is this mega city of Jericho. Jericho is probably the most important city in the region at this time, which is why they had fortified the city and built this gigantic wall around the city because it was such an important trade city and so important to the region and to the kingdom that was there. And so they come across and they're standing there at the edge of this, they're right on the brink, right on the edge of stepping into what God had not only promised them, but promised their fathers a generation ago. And this is the biggest thing that I think that we need to understand about this story and about sometimes how God works and operates in our lives. And it's this. Listen to me close. Sometimes between where God has called you to be and where you are stands a wall. Amen? God, there's a wall sometimes between the promise and the reality of that promise. Jesus has told me in His Word that by His stripes I'm healed, but there's a wall of sickness between me and my healing. Amen? God has declared me to be free. He said, "He who the Son sets free is free indeed." But between freedom between where I am now and getting that freedom, there's a wall. There's a wall of addiction. There's a wall of hurt. There's a wall of pain. There's a wall of something that's got me bound. Amen? God has called me to live on purpose and to plant purpose and destiny in my heart. But between my purpose, between where I am and the purpose God has for me, there's a wall of doubt. There's a wall of insecurity. Between a wall of destiny and where I am now, there may be a wall of the mundane and just daily grind of life, feeling boring and like I'm making no steps. There's a wall. God has promised me peace. But between where I am now and the peace that God has for me, there's a wall of fear, and there's a wall of insecurity, there's a wall of stress. There's walls sometimes between where I am and where God has called me to be. Some of those walls have been placed there by other people or other things or outside circumstances that have taken place in my life that I have no control over. Amen? Sometimes people have offended me and hurt me and done things to me that I couldn't do anything about and I didn't do anything to deserve, and it built a wall. But if I'm really honest, there are some walls that I have built myself within my heart. There are some walls that I have placed the bricks, brick by brick, to make sure that I was protected, to make sure that nobody could come in, to make sure that nobody ever made me feel the way that person did that hurt me, or whatever other reason is that I built a wall. The reality is there is often a wall between where I am and where God has declared me to be. Amen? Now Joshua, in chapter 5, verse 13, the first couple of verses we read, The Bible says that Joshua shows, looks up and he sees this angelic being with a sword drawn in his hand. And he goes and says, who are you? Are you for us? Who are you? And he says, as the commander of the Lord. Who is that? You know what that is? That's Jesus. That's called a pre-incarnate sighting of Jesus. That means Jesus showed up somewhere in the Old Testament before he walked the earth as the New Testament. And how do we know this was Jesus? Well, for when he says, I'm the commander of the Lord's host. In some of the Hebrew language, that means he was saying, I'm the Lord. I am over this whole thing. And we also recognize that it's Jesus, because nowhere in Scripture that an angel shows up, and there are some places where an angel shows up, and we see that Joshua, the Bible says, bowed down and worshiped this being. When any time that happened with an angel, for instance, Mary, when the angel Gabriel shows up, other places, Gideon, an angel shows up, and they bow down, and the angel would correct them and say, no, you don't bow down to me. You don't worship me. I'm not God. I'm just an angel. I'm just here on assignment. But the fact that this created being, this angelic being, allows Joshua to worship and doesn't correct him, suggests to us that this has to be the Lord. This is more than just an angel showing up. Amen. And let me just say this real quickly. Let me just interject this in here. Listen to me very close. Do not ever get deceived by someone that sounds spiritual and uses talk about angels and other things to get your eyes off of Jesus. Amen. We are never to put our faith and our trust in angels or any other spiritual force on this earth or in this universe except for Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody? And so he sees this angel and he begins to worship him, and so we know this is Jesus showing up. And Jesus declares to Joshua, says, Joshua, I have given you this city. Think about what he says. He doesn't say, I am going to give you this city, does he? Read it. He says, I have given you this city, right? Now, I'm going to need this back, okay? Now, if I say I have given you this wallet, right, and hold on to it, have I given you the wallet?
No.
So, if Jesus had given Joshua the city and didn't give it to him at that moment, would he be a liar? If I say to Matt, I'm Matt, I'm going to give you this wallet, but I don't give it to him, what am I?
Liar.
A liar. Is Jesus a liar?
Nope.
Is the truth in him?
Yep.
Yes, it is. Is it impossible for Jesus, God, to lie?
That's right.
It is. Okay, thank you. Just, it is. If you don't know, just get with me here. It is. There's no sin in him, right? So if for me to say I have given you this wallet, I have to give him the wallet.
Yeah.
Give it back. I ain't giving you that wallet. I mean, you can get as far as about $47 of credit can get you, but I need it right now. Okay. So when Jesus says I have given you this city, I must deduce. Is that the right word? Reduct? I don't know. I must assume, how about that? I must assume that Jesus has actually given Joshua the thing that he said he's given him. However, at the moment, there's a wall between Joshua and the thing that Jesus has already declared belongs to him. And it's the exact same way in our life. Sometimes God has given us a thing, but there's a wall around it. Sometimes God has given us a thing, but there's a wall around me, keeping it from it. And so the question is this: if God has declared something is mine, but it's behind a wall, what must I do? We got to knock down the wall. Amen? Just like the children of Israel did. We've got to knock down the wall. And I want to declare over somebody's life this morning that's sitting here, over somebody that's going to listen to it this week on the podcast, and you're listening online 3 or 4 days from now, listen to me very close. God wants to knock down some walls in your life. You have been held back and held up and hemmed in from the things of God and who God has called you to be for far too long. And God, by the Spirit of God, wants to knock some stuff down in you. Come on, somebody. You have, listen, You have been walled in by that fear and insecurity and doubt for long enough, and that wall is coming down in Jesus' name. You have been walled in by that addiction for long enough, and that thing is coming down in Jesus' name. You have been walled in by that hurt and thing from your past for long enough, and that wall is coming down in the name of Jesus. So how do we knock down those walls? Let's ask ourselves this question first. What knocks down the wall? Before I can understand how to knock down the wall, let's first look at what it is that knocks down the wall to begin with. Hebrews chapter 11 in the New Testament in verse 30 mentions this story in a footnote. And Hebrews chapter 11 verse 30 says, faith knocked down the wall when the Israelites shouted. Faith is the force, listen to me, faith is the force that will knock down every wall that stands in your way. Amen? So now that we know that faith is what knocks down the wall, let's spend the rest of our few moments together. I'm not going to preach very long this morning, but let's spend the rest of our few moments together looking at the ingredients that make up wall knocking down faith. The first thing is this. First thing is this. If I'm going to have wall knocking down faith in my life, I have got to get on Jesus' side. I have got to align myself with the right person, with the right things in my life, and that is Jesus. Amen? Look at verse 13 when it says Joshua came to him, and the first question is, he says, are you for us or are you for them? He says, are you for us or against us, is what Joshua said. Are you with us or against us? Jesus says, I'm not with you, and I'm not with them. I'm the Lord, and you can get on my side. Amen? Listen to me, I got to be very careful that I don't live my life thinking that it's Jesus' job to get on my page. And sometimes we live our Christian lives like that. We never really, listen, we start coming to church, we give our lives to Jesus, we begin to sing the songs, and we become, but at the core of our being, I'm still the author of my book. I'm still writing all the pages. I'm still writing the story. I'm still making all the decisions. And I'm expecting Jesus to get on my side and just bless what I want to do. The reality is this. As a Christian, it's my job to let go of the pen and to say, Jesus, my story is yours. You write the book. I'm going to get on your page and live life like that. And when I live life expecting Jesus to get on my page, what happens is I will become very frustrated with Christianity very quickly. And when things don't go my way, I will begin to say, well, I tried going to church one time, but it just didn't really work for me. I tried being a Christian for a little while, but it just really didn't seem to work. And the reality is this, friend, you may have shown up to church, you may have even read your Bible, you may have even come to a Wednesday night class, you may have even gone through some discipleship stuff, but unless I let Jesus change me at the core, I will end up thinking it didn't work, because what I thought was going to happen was that I was just going to do all the stuff I wanted to do, and Jesus was going to be my magic fairy in the sky and bless all of that stuff. And Jesus says, I'm not on your side. I'm on my side. I'm God. You're not. You get on my level. I'm not going to get on yours. Amen? So the first thing I've got to do is get on Jesus' side. Now the second ingredient gets me on that side, and it's this. I gotta get on the side of Jesus, and then I've got to obey. Amen? I've got to obey. Verses 6 through 14, we didn't read all of that, but Jesus gives the command to Joshua. He says, have the people march around for 6 days, once a day for 6 days, with the priests and the trumpets and all that. You march around the city once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, you march around it 7 times, and then you shout, and the walls will come down. Jesus gives them a command. And you see in verses 6 through 14, you can read them, Joshua leads the people, and Joshua and the people, the nation, listen, they follow the command to a T. Now listen to me close. This is something you can tweet later if you want. Put on your Facebook status. You'll sound cool. Listen. Obedience positions me to see the promise. Amen? It's obedience to God's word that will place my life in a position to see the promises of God become a reality. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, Joshua, Jesus could have said, Joshua, here's the plan, do this. march around the city. Joshua could have went back to the people and said, yeah, Jesus gave me an idea, but that's really lame. We've been marching for 40 years. I'm tired of marching. Guys, let's go. Let's just get the battle gear ready. Let's storm the gates. Let's get a battering ram and knock the door down. Let's do it. Guess what? He would have been out of position to see the promise. Now, the promise that Jesus had for him would have still been the same. I have given you this city. But listen to me. Jesus will always fulfill his promise to us on his terms, in his way, at the way that he wants to, not the way that I decide to make it happen. Amen? And so I've got to get on Jesus' side, and then I need to obey the commands he gives me. Okay? When I obey God's word, it positions me to see the promise. So many times I've gotten frustrated and said, God, why isn't this taking place in my life? But if I'm honest and begin to take account and value and look at my life, there's some area where I have gotten off somewhere. Amen? Now, thankfully, many times by God's grace, he fulfills his promises to us despite my ignorance and disobedience. But I've got to understand that he's under no obligation. Listen, he's under no obligation to fulfill his word to me when I am not in any way, shape, or form trying to live my life according to the word that he's given me. Amen? Amen? So if you're single and you're looking for a man or you're looking for a woman and you're trying to find something and you're like, well, how do I do this? And listen, let me tell you something. Listen, if you're sleeping around with everybody that'll give you the time of day and giving yourself away to people time after time after time, and then you're wondering why you can't find a decent man or a decent woman, listen to me. You know what the problem is? It's not that God's not going to do his word. It's that I'm not doing it the way God wants me to do it. Amen? God's plan for you is not to sleep with 50, 60 people or even, listen to me, teenagers, God's plan is not even for you to sleep with 3 or 4 people. Listen, God, I believe that God's plan is to bring you together, two virgins who love God, love Jesus, and are going to get married and give themselves to each other only. Amen? Now, listen, don't. This is no condemnation. You may have screwed that up so many times. It doesn't matter. God, grace and forgiveness, but here's the deal. From right now, I'm going to do it God's way. Amen? I don't know why God's not blessing me about business. I'm doing everything that I want to do. Listen. If I'm not being ethical, if I'm not operating in integrity, if I'm cheating on my taxes, if I'm not being honest and all these other things, and then my business is failing, I can't be upset that God didn't bless my business. I didn't do it the way he wanted me to do it. Amen? Obedience positions me to see the promise. See, sometimes we get a word from God, we get a promise from God, we get something from God in this word, and we grab onto it, and we think, okay, well, that's just going to happen like right now. And it doesn't matter what I do, I've got this promise from God. No. It's not enough just to have the promise. It's not enough just to hear the promise. I want to see the promise. And to see the promise, I've got to be in the right position, and obedience positions me. Amen? And I want you to notice this too. God's plan for them, listen, was active obedience. Everyone say active obedience. That means that Jesus said to them specifically, here's some stuff that I want you to do. And I know I said, listen, you're going to see this in every single story. Every single time that God moves mightily, I can't even hardly think of one time where it's just God supernaturally out of the sky, just swooping in like an eagle and making something happen. God is moving through people as people are doing stuff. In fact, let me say it this way. Listen to me close. Write this down. You can tweet this later. Listen, you can Facebook this later. Listen. God does things through people who are doing things. Amen? I know that's like mind-blowing. Wow. No, listen, I know that's so simple, but so many times I just sit down with no activity of all of my own, and I just think God's going to make all these things happen. No, God gives me some steps to do. You know why? It's because of this, I believe. God wants you and me actively involved in his redemptive plan for your life. Amen? Jesus didn't die on the cross and be resurrected and save you and redeem you and draw your life up from the pit of sin and hell and rescue us. He didn't do that just for us to sit down for the rest of our lives and watch him do a bunch of stuff. No! He bent down and rescued me from a sinner's hell. He bent down with his arm of redemption and salvation and drew me out of the abyss and the pit that I was in. He pulled me up because he wants me to be actively involved in what he's doing. And he wants you to be actively involved in the plan, in the mix, part of the program. Amen? Can everybody say active obedience? Active, and I want you to see this too. Listen, this is what makes no sense about this plan. Not only is this active obedience, it's nonsensical obedience. Okay? Nonsensical. He said, Joshua said, listen, we're gonna split the army. We're gonna have some of the army in front of the priest, and we're gonna have some of the army behind the priest, and we're gonna put the priest carrying the ark, and then we're gonna put the praise team around the ark, and the praise team's gonna be singing, and the army's gonna be marching. Whoa, what a scary army that must have looked like. Can you imagine the people of Jericho looking out over the city walls and they see the band coming to play? You are my freedom. And they're like, who are these idiots, man? Makes no sense. I want you to see this also. The plan of God was not just, hey, the army's going to go in and do this. And it wasn't just, hey, the priests are going to go in and do this. It wasn't just, hey, the worship team's going to go in. Everybody has a part to play. And when everybody plays their part, God does his part. Hallelujah. Amen? Active obedience. Some ways, nonsensical obedience. But God does things through people who are doing things. The third ingredient of wall-knocking down faith. Get on Jesus' side. Obedience. The third thing was endurance. Everyone say endurance. Endurance. Listen, these people for 6 days walk around the wall. Not only do they walk around the wall, the Bible says that, now we don't know if Jesus told them this, but Joshua told the people, shut up. Nobody say a word for 6 days away. Everybody march in silence until the seventh day when you hear me say it. Now, we don't see Jesus necessarily saying that to Joshua. Joshua, I think, just knew how people are. And he knew if people were talking while they were walking around that wall, they were going to be going, this is the stupidest, dumbest thing we've ever done. What in the world are we doing? And they would probably talk themselves out of the blessing of God. Amen? That's a whole other message. I can't even get into that this morning. But they march around for 6 days in silence with nothing happening. Nothing. Nothing. Just marching around. And I told you this earlier, but remember, marching was all these people had done for 40 years. Can you imagine what a tough sell this is for Joshua? You got to think, he was just a normal person. Jesus, these people have been marching for 40 years. That's all they've been doing is marching around a wilderness in circles, marching around in circles. And they finally get to the promised land, and they get this great plan from God. I want you to march some more. Like, I imagine Joshua's like, okay, I'm going to have the bow and arrow guys, and we're going to have the chariots and the horses, and we're going to have the spears and the swordsmen, and we're going to do what I got this. Joshua, I bet Joshua had a battle plan already ready. He was like, Jesus, listen, I got this battle plan right here. I just need you to sign off on it. We're good to go. We saw this is. I've been marching for 40 years, imagining this day. This is. Trust me, you're not going to have a better idea. And Jesus says, "I want you to march some more. I want you to march some more. Really? We're ready to fight, man. We're ready to take the city. We're ready to use some of these weapons we've been carrying around for 40 years with doing nothing. We're ready to do something. Now, can you imagine? Not only does Joshua accept this, now Joshua has to go to the people. These warriors that have been for 40 years, they've been growing up thinking, we're going to take the promised land. We're going to take the promised land. We're going to take the promised land. They finally cross the Jordan River. They see the city. They're like, whoa, God's going to give us the city. And Joshua gets there. Hey, okay, right here. Here's what we're going to do, guys. Listen. This is what the plan is. I bet somebody said, we're going to fight. We're going to shoot our bows. We're going to charge the city. No, guys, listen. We're going to march. Can you imagine being in that army, the deflated, like the balloon being let out, the air just sucked out of the room? We're going to what? Dude, we're done marching. When we marched across the Jordan River, that was the last marching we did without some fighting. We're ready to fight. Joshua says, nope, We're going to march. Not only are we going to march, we're going to march around the same place for 6 days in silence. So for 6 days, they march around that same place, not saying a word, and they see no results. No results. They just march around the city and sit down, go back home and go to sleep, eat supper and take a nap or whatever. Get up the next day, wash their face. What are we going to do today, Joshua? We're going to march. Oh, good. Something different. We haven't done that for 40 years. Awesome. Let's do it. I'm psyched. March. 2 days. 3 days. Listen. Listen. Hear me. Don't underestimate the value of doing the same thing in your life again and again and again until you see the results that God has promised. Amen. I know, and I'm with you. I'm a person that I'm always looking for something new. Let's do what's a new thing. What's a new thing we can do? Jesus waits in protein shakes. I've drank more protein, more supplements than is probably good for me. That's why I'm messed up. I don't know. And I'm always looking for something new. But the reality is this. There's really not that much new. It's eat right, which is my issue. That's my problem. It's eat right, work out, and get enough protein to do what you want. That's it. There's no magic. There's nothing new out there. Say, listen, there's no new. There's nothing new to get you where God wants you to be. Read your Bible, spend some time in prayer, be a worshiper, get involved in church, and watch what God does in your life. Amen? The problem is, sometimes we go through seasons where God has us marching, and it seems like for no reason, and there's nothing happening, and we don't see any wall breaking. We don't even see any cracks or chips in the foundation. We're just marching. Amen? But listen, don't underestimate the value of, listen, don't underestimate the value of doing the same thing again and again until you receive new orders. Amen? Sometimes what happens is God sets me marching and I'm real obedient to that, but then I don't see anything happening and all of a sudden I begin to get weary just marching around. And so I begin to think, well, maybe instead of marching, I should run. Let me jog a little bit, see if that happened. That wasn't it. Maybe I'm marching around the wrong city. I'll go to a new city and maybe God messed up and he said Jericho, but he meant Jerusalem. I'll go there instead. It was a slip of the tongue. It was a typo in the email he sent. I don't know. So let me get some. Stay doing the same thing you heard God do until he tells you to do something different. Amen? That was a way better word than you amen for. Amen? The power of endurance. 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 I've got to be willing to do what God said do until I see him do what he said he would do. Amen? And sometimes I miss seeing what God said he was going to do because I stopped short of doing what he told me to do. And what happens when I disobey? I become out of position. Amen? The fourth ingredient of wall knocking down faith. We get on Jesus' side, we obey, we endure. Okay? The fourth thing is this. I've got, if you haven't heard anything else, perk up and listen. I'm almost done. This is my last point. I must give faith a voice. You hear me? For faith to become effective in my life, it must be given a voice. And that voice, listen to me, that voice is praise. Amen? Listen, at some point in my life, faith will demand my voice. I have no faith until I put voice to it. Amen? God framed up, the Bible says God in Hebrews, the Bible says God framed the entire world by faith. However, he used his voice to activate that faith. God said, and light was. Amen? The Bible says God called things into being as though they are, even though they are not. He used his voice. Give me some music, Ethan. And if we're gonna be people of faith, you got something? Somebody come play something so I can shut this thing down. Eric, come strum for me. Where's he at? Somebody, music. I don't care. Some musician, come up here. At some point, if I'm going to be a person of faith, I'm going to have to give my faith a voice. In fact, your faith... Oh, God, I know I'm going to hurt your feelings. I'm sorry. But listen, if I do, this is just to help you because I love you. At some point, listen, if you've never given your faith a voice, you don't have any faith. Well, you know, my faith is just personal. It's just between me and God, and I don't have to talk about it or tell anybody about it. Bring it down a little bit. Listen, I'll buy that when you can show me that in the book. You show me in this book where the Bible says that your faith is a personal matter between you and God and nobody else is involved in it and it's nobody else's business and nobody ever has to know about it. Friend, that is just a lie from the pit of hell that we bought to be politically correct. Your faith isn't even activated until you give it a voice. Romans chapter 10, verse 10 says we are saved because I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth. Then I am saved. Faith must be given a voice, and that voice is praise. Amen? And so at some point, they march around the walls of Jericho seven times. They've obeyed. They're doing what God said to do. They've endured till the end. And the Bible says at the seventh time, Joshua says, shout! And the Bible says the priests began to blow the trumpets. They began to play the instruments, and the people all around that city began to shout, and they began to praise God. They began to worship God, and as they did that, the walls fell down, and the Bible says there wasn't even a battle. They just went in and took the city. And listen to me. Listen to me. Here's a couple of questions I have. Number one. How much faith can I really have in God if I refuse to ever open up my voice in worship and give God any praise? How much faith do I really have? Amen? Because if it's in me, it's got to come out somewhere. Amen? Now, you may not be as loud as me, and I may not be as loud as you, but it's going to have a voice somewhere. Amen? Okay? That voice is praise. And listen to me. The power wasn't in their shout. Okay? I want you to hear this. Because I've been in Pentecostal churches my whole life, and I've seen a lot of people that could shout, but they were just shouting to shout. There wasn't no faith in it. There wasn't no God in it. There was no anointing in it. There was no Spirit of the Lord in it. They were just shouting to shout because that's all they knew to do. You can shout yourself into an emotional hyper-frenzy state and you can think it's God. Listen to me. It wasn't just the fact that they shouted and made a bunch of noise that brought the wall down. It was the faith. It was the thing significant about the shout was the faith that it represented in their God. Amen? And they had shown that faith by obeying His word when it didn't make any sense for 6 days walking around being silent. And finally, they said, when the command was given to shout, they obeyed. But why? Because they believed that God was going to do what He said He would do. Amen? And it was a shout. Now listen, the shout was simply an expression of their faith. But listen, the expression of the faith was given before they saw the promise. Many times in your life and in my life, I can't tell you how many times in my life I've had to shout before I saw. Amen? Sometimes I got to shout before I see. And sometimes I think we're waiting to shout. I'm waiting to see, and then I'll shout. When God heals me, then I'll shout. When God moves, then I'll praise. When I feel it, then I'll get involved. When I feel goose pimples down my neck, then I'll lift up my hands. Then I'll sing the song. Then I'll worship. Then I'll give my faith a voice. No. Faith doesn't work like that. I've got to shout before I see. Because I'm shouting, not because of what I see, I'm shouting because of what I've heard. And I know that if I've heard it, I'm going to see it if I'll just stay in position by obedience to see it. So I've got something to shout about because I believe it. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so I've got to shout sometimes before I see. Stay with me all over this place. And you're going to have to learn to shout sometimes before you see. Some of us, listen. Some of you are wondering, why don't I see God doing what He wants, what He has said He was going to do, what I'm believing Him to do? It's because you're waiting to see it before you'll shout. And if I wait to see it before I shout, I'll never see it. And I'll never shout. And my faith will never have a voice. And it just becomes this cycle. But let me just, if we could just turn that thing upside down and decide, you know what? I don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't even like it right now. But I believe. And I'm going to give my belief in my faith a voice, regardless of what I see. You may not see it today. You may not see it tomorrow. But if that becomes the ingredients of your life, friend, you will see walls fall down in your life. Amen? I'm going to shout and praise God because I'm free. I don't care if I just screwed up last night. I don't care if I just smoked up last night for the 100th time that I said I was never going to smoke weed again. I was never going to get drunk again. I was never going to watch porn again. I don't care if I did it last night. I'm going to come in here this morning and I'm going to shout like I'm free because I know that freedom is what God has called me to be. Amen. I may be sick in my body. I may have gotten a bad report from the doctor. I may feel like I'm on death's door. I'm going to shout regardless because I see in His Word that He says I'm healed. Amen? I've got to shout before I see. Listen. Stop waiting to see change before you'll praise God for it. Praise God for what He's already declared is yours. And watch the walls fall down. And when God's in it and God's involved and the walls fall down, it won't be a fight and it won't be a battle and it won't be a struggle. You'll just be able to walk in. And here's how it works. Sometimes I believe this can happen without even realizing it. You're enduring. You're walking around the wall. You're doing what God's called you to do. You're praising God regardless of what your circumstances and situation are. You're giving your faith a voice no matter what. And listen, all of a sudden, you're just in a thing. You're just in a place. And you're like, huh. Does that make sense? I know it's hard to do. You're just in a thing. You're just... Something happens that normally you would have flipped out about, would have caused this rage to come out of you, and all of a sudden one day it happens and you're just like, oh well, whatever. Now, wait, but what happened? There was a wall of rage and anger there. What happened? It came down. I didn't even know it. God brought me right into that and I didn't even know it. Amen. God bless. We just bow your heads and close your eyes and all over this place this morning. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we declare, and I feel the presence of the Lord in this house, guys. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus, over every individual in this room, over every person connected to this house, Lord, we will not be a people that is waiting to see it before we'll shout for it, but we will be a people that will shout for it before we see it because we've heard it in Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Receive that for yourself right now. Just tell the Lord, that's who I'm going to be. Just tell Him, that's who I'm going to be. I'm going to shout before I see.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow Him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.